Welcome to another edition of the Gold Nose Podcast. I'm your host, Gregory McCoy. This podcast is by a fan for fans. I am not a journalist. I am not a reporter. I am not an insider. I do not work for a website. The majority of my content comes from me and my opinion. Other information comes from the internet. Today is July the 10th, 2020. I got about five different segments here for this episode. I hope you enjoy it. Leading off today, the first segment is entitled Washington Redskins Name Change Ideas. The one that's getting the most publicity is the Washington Warriors, which I don't have a problem with. I think that's a pretty good name. I mean, let's be honest, man. This name change should have been done, you know, decades ago. You know, it never should have been the Redskins anyway. And really, I don't like any native inhabitant names being used as mascots for any teams, because you don't see anything called the Caucasians or the Negroes. I mean, you have seen black people get vilified as far as nicknames, but not, I mean, they haven't been bold enough to put it like on pro teams. I mean, it just shows the lack of respect for you know, the native inhabitants or indigenous people of this land. I think if you have something like the Seminoles and it's approved by that particular indigenous race, then fine. I mean, if you got something like the Chippewas or the Seminoles or the Aztecs, you know, things of that nature, then, and it's approved through that particular race of people, then I don't have a problem with it. But like Braves, Indians, Redskins, Chiefs. I mean, Chiefs are not really that bad, because that's just a reference. A chief can reference anything. So I don't really consider that. But you gotta keep in mind, I'm black. So, I mean, native inhabitant of this land, you know, their ancestors might consider that racist. So, but getting back to the Washington Redskins, I like the Warriors. I can't really think of anything. Maybe it can be something political, like they got the Senators and the Capitals. Maybe, I don't know, Washington Electric, Washington Electorials. I don't know, man. Like the Orioles, Electorials. Maybe they could bring the Bullets back, Washington Bullets. Let's see. I'm trying to think here. Washington Sabres. Washington Wolverines. That's got a nice ring to it. The Washington Presidents. The Washington Presidentials. The Washington Navigation. I don't know. Just some ideas to throw out there. Food for thought. But let's be honest, this name change should have happened years ago. So let me know what you think about that. Those ideas, and how do you feel about the name change? Next segment is entitled, Will Lamar Jackson Be the Next $500 Million Quarterback? I think so, but he needs to change his running style. His playing style. History tells us that it's not sustainable that you're going to be able to play as a running quarterback for a long time in this league. You run when you have to. You don't just run just to run. So I think from year one to year two, he improved tremendously. From year two to year three. And is this year three or year four for him? It might be year four. Let me look it up. Because I want to say he came out in 2017. Okay, though, he came out in 2018. Okay, yeah, so this is year three. So, yeah, as his first year as the full-time starter, he went for 3,100 yards, 36 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 113 QB rating. That's a tremendous jump. So, year three, man, I think he's going to be even better. You win the league MVP your second year in the league. I think he's going to be fine, man. But like I said, I would like to see him run less and throw more. A lot of teams slept on this guy, man, and they still hating on him. This being a Florida State Gold Nose podcast, we know firsthand about Lamar Jackson. So I got a tremendous amount of respect for him. I'm still mad that we didn't recruit him. I'm still mad that Jimbo Fisher didn't recruit him way back when. So I really do think that, this guy is going to be, one of the best players, and he probably will get that $500 million contract. No doubt about it. If he really shows improvement like he did from year one to year two, and he improves tremendously again in year three, you got to pay him. I don't think you pay him Mahomes type money, but, I look, the more you look at Mahomes' contract, the more you say it's a bad deal. I don't want those many years. Give me 4 years. Give me 4 years. I don't know. $120 million and fully guaranteed a deal. That's what I want. Because Mahomes is not making $50 million a season. That thing is structured. It's a team-friendly deal. So, if Lamar Jackson has smart representation, you don't do a deal like that. Unless it's structured that he's going to make all of the money. And they can't just get out of the deal when it's time for the big money to be paid. So, let me know what you think about this second segment, man. Moving on to the Florida State stuff. Deion Sanders, man. I always talk about Deion Sanders on this podcast. He helped put Florida State on the map. I was watching some of his highlights last night. And which receiver did you enjoy Deion going up against the most? Deion versus Jerry Rice, Deion versus Michael Irvin, or Deion versus Chris Carter. And there's numerous others, man. I seen him go up against T.O. You know, I was doing my research for this podcast, and I seen one where he was going up against T.O., man. And, you know, T.O. got him a couple of times. I think it was T.O.'s second year in the league, third year in the league or something like that, 1998. So that would have been his second year, third year in the league. And Terrell Owens just hit him with the crackback block. And Deion fell on the ground. He was clapping. And Deion could be physical when he wanted to be. Because later on in that game, I mean, Steve Young floated a ball out there. And my boy Deion just closed on it with one hand and intercepted it. But the Cowboys got called for offsides. And it was a spectacular play. But out of those three guys, Jerry Rice, Michael Irvin, Chris Carter, the one that I enjoyed the most, and this receiver really got off on him in that game, was the NFC Championship. And I want to say it was 1996 against Michael Irvin. I mean, just a classic. And, you know, Deion should have been flagged for pass interference when he stuck his arm out so Michael Irvin couldn't go and get that ball. And let's clear something up about Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin was a fast receiver. A lot of people said he was slow. No, my friend. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. And that man was fast and physical. The most physical receiver in NFL history. And this is this noted about his drug habits. That was a joke, but, you know, Michael Irvin is, all jokes aside, one of the fastest receivers that was out there. Deceptively, very deceptively. People really underestimated his speed, but nobody underestimated his physicality. DBs, you was not going to, you know, be physical and jam him up. That dude was a beast. He was going to give you a beatdown. So out of those three, I enjoyed Michael Irvin. Jerry Rice would probably be next. He had some battles with Jerry Rice, man. And Deion won most of them, in my opinion. You know, Deion won the individual battle, but most of the time, San Francisco won the game. They used to be in the same division back in the day. They had the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC West, which was just insane to me. But then I would say Chris Carter. There's a matchup when Randy Moss, Dallas went to Minnesota, and Minnesota came to Dallas, and Deion rarely got matched up against Moss. I mean, that was the matchup everybody wanted to see. But it was usually Deion against Chris Carter. And that was a pretty good matchup as well. So let me know what you think about that segment. Next segment, can the helmet covering work for Florida State and college football? I seen a video on it this morning. It looks like they got the face shield with it, the thing that covers the face mask all the way under the face mask to the neck. It looks like it'll work. I mean, the guy who was, you know, modeling the helmet and mask, he said it was breathable. The face mask wasn't fogging. I mean, the face shield wasn't covering, fogging up, excuse me. So, you know, you can do this. Okay, so that's going to help you while you're playing the game. What about when you're off the field? So you're going to have to socially distance on the sideline, and you're going to have to wear a mask on the sideline. I just don't see that happening. You know, you really gonna have to use the whole side, the whole 100 yard sideline to socially distance. And you know, wear a mask. So I mean, this can work. With discipline, this thing can work. I don't think you can bring fans back just yet. I think you're probably looking at next season at bringing fans back if you can somehow conquer this pandemic. But we'll have to see, man. But I say thumbs up on the season. So hopefully they'll do it. Last segment for this episode, Jimbo Fisher on probation at Texas A&M. Recruiting violations. I'm not gonna jump up and down because you do have you know, players that came to Texas A&M to play. But I will say that, hey, for Florida State, go poach them guys, man. Let's get some more guys. Texas A&M was placed on probation for a year, and Jimbo Fisher was given a six-month show cause order after he and the program were found to have violated NCAA recruiting and athletic-related rules. And this was on July the 2nd. Like I always say, I always try to wait like a week or so to speak on a subject. Because I don't, this isn't a show where I try to come on here and act like I'm some kind of recruiting analyst or insider, or I'm trying to break news. I'm not trying to do that. I just, when it's something really important, I'll speak on it. But just football related stuff, I'll wait. Because like when I first started doing this podcast, I had a lot of hate coming towards me. Like I was trying to be like, you know, other podcasts, and I'm not. My show is different. So, you know, I feel sorry for the players, but at Texas A&M, but Florida State, go try to go get some of them guys, man, because they're like, they get instant eligibility when they transfer. When the school and the coach violate the rules, they get instant eligibility. So you could go get Kellen Mond, man. You go get Kellen Mond, quarterback. You know, he upgrade our quarterback situation instantly. So that's gonna conclude this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. It's available on YouTube. It's available on all podcast platforms. Please wear a mask, please social distance, please be aware of your surroundings. Thank you for listening. What else? Do your research on flu and respiratory viruses. And as always, go Noles.